President Trump yesterday afternoon warned Americans that we are entering a very, very painful 2 weeks. COVID-19 infections and virus-related deaths are set to climb and potentially climb sharply as we race toward peak infection. And now, at least for today, markets are back on the defensive.
Live from an approved distance via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning we begin with a conversation with Dwayne Faber and Mike North for a little talk of dairy. Then it's our Farmer Forum with panelists Luke Lauritsen and Nick Ehlers. And right after the news, Margie Eckelkamp from AgPro Magazine. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis, thank you so much.
Good morning, homie.
Good morning to you. We got a little rain in our neck of the woods here.
Yeah, it was coming down pretty good. I just went up to refill my coffee about 20 minutes ago, and geez, it's really raining.
Yeah. It's not much of the Midwest that's getting rain right now, but if you're under it, it's coming down pretty good.
Yep, yeah. Sure is.
So, yeah. The Dow is off about 470 points right now. That's actually off the lows and off the lows by a chunk. Mm-hmm. But, the markets are just feeling very defensive today. And I was kind of laughing that what we had to do to get some strength back into the Class 3 milk futures was get Faber on and get Mike North on to talk about how crappy the milk market has been lately.
And here we go.
We've got some strength going in the Class 3 milk futures today. So, well, but boy, there's a long ways to go, to fix the ills that have set in on that milk market. And there's it doesn't feel as bad as what's going on in the crude oil market. It doesn't feel as bad as what's happening in the ethanol market, but there are some storage issues, there are some capacity issues that we are dealing with in the dairy industry. We'll talk to Dwayne and Mike about that coming up here in just a bit. By the way, did you see the crude oil build?
No, I didn't see the numbers on that.
13.8 million barrel increase.
Wow.
The trade was looking for like 4 million barrel increase. 13.8. My gosh. I haven't seen the ethanol numbers yet, but I'm a little nervous about getting the update there too.
Yeah, and we've got a little bit coming up here in the news here on the oil situation. It's quite the deal right now, and U.S. producers are starting to feel the pinch.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. All right, let's go ahead and get into that news, bud.
Sure thing. Well, like you said, President Trump has warned Americans of a, quote, very, very painful 2 weeks ahead, as forecasters say 100 to 240,000 Americans could die from the coronavirus, even if social distancing recommendations are followed. Trump went on to point out roughly 116,000 people died in the First World War, equating the current health crisis to wartime. The Centers for Disease Control note the 1918 flu pandemic killed 675,000 people. These concerns have the CDC considering mask requirements for U.S. citizens who leave their homes. CDC Director Robert Redfield said the agency is considering masks as people exhibiting no symptoms of coronavirus can still spread the disease. Chip, you got your masks, or what would we do here?
Yeah, I don't know. I think we're
got a lot of do-rags. Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to have to make some. We're going to have to make some is what it sounds like. And they're reevaluating what did you call it? An appropriate distance that we are separated by here in here on AgriTalk. They're questioning what that appropriate distance is. It's been 6 feet, right? It's been 6 feet. But I guess the researchers at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln are saying that the virus can travel. And I mean, it's a virus. Of course it can travel airborne, but they're saying up to 27 feet.
27 so, feet now.
Yeah. So if we have to social distance and maintain 27 foot.
I'm not sure I can estimate 27
feet. Well, yeah.
6 feet I can get my head around, you know?
Right. You know, well, it's 9 yards, Davis.
Oh, 9 yards. Okay.
Yes.
So
not quite a first down.
Chip, the yield on the 10-year note, often seen as a safe haven for investors during market uncertainty, fell 0.09 points to 0.611%. A new study by Morgan Stanley estimates the U.S. deficit will total at least $3.7 trillion in calendar year 2020. U.S. stocks closed out their worst quarter since the depths of the financial crisis. Let's see. The S&P 500 lost 20% in the first quarter. That's the biggest quarterly decline since 2008. The Dow was off 23% in the quarter. NASDAQ NASDAQ down 14%. Meanwhile, get this, Chip.
Yep.
Orange juice. Orange juice was the best performing commodity in the first quarter of 2020. There you go.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah, orange
interesting.
Juice.
Yep. Yeah. And on these interest rates, I'm going to ask Nick and Luke coming up in the second half of the show in the Farmer Forum about some of the interest rates that are available from the CCC right now. My goodness gracious, they're low and attractive. Yeah.
Yep. The oil price crash, sagging demand, and a lack of storage space is now expected to crimp world oil production by 10 million barrels per day over the coming months. Yeah. Jim Burkhardt from HIS Markets said, quote, if there is no international agreement to curtail oil production, then brutal, unadulterated market forces will bring the oil market into balance. The current oil market climate has already begun to weigh heavily on U.S. shale producers. President Trump will be making a call to Russian President Vladimir Putin to discuss a possible oil production truce, but Saudi Arabia is expected to continue to produce oil at high levels to gain market share. And just a few quick notes here. Calls are mounting to investigate potential meat market manipulation. Yep. Senate Finance Committee Chair Chuck Grassley is asking the Justice Department to open an antitrust probe into beef price fixing. And finally, the Dairy Farmers of America Cooperative won its bid to acquire swaths of Dean Foods dairy operations after the largest U.S. milk processor filed for bankruptcy in November and auctioned off its assets this week, although there's still some questions around this one, Chip.
Right. Yeah, I think it still needs to pass the final tests on this and whether or not it can happen. We'll get some input from Dwayne and Mike on that coming up in just a bit. All right, thanks, Davis.
You betcha.
Maybe Dwayne's on the line already. Let's bring in Margie. Margie Uncle-Camp, editor of AgPro. How you doing, Margie?
Chip, I'm doing good. I'm actually happy about the social media movement to cancel April Fool's Day jokes.
Well, wait, are you serious?
I am. I am serious. It's my husband's birthday today, so happy birthday to him. But no, I don't like April Fool's Day jokes.
Well, you know, usually those that don't appreciate a good April Fool's Day joke are those that fall for those jokes most regularly.
Easy.
Okay, Margie, give us something to research while we are in lockdown.
Well, I think there's two interesting technologies that we've reported on recently. One would be from a Row Crop Challenge participant. This is our partnership with Ag Launch. And there's a startup called Continuum Ag with Mitchell Hora. And they are now making their platform available that not only helps quantify soil health and really in the short term help farmers and consultants work toward better fertility management, but in the long term, it helps set up this data for all of the sustainability ecosystems and potential supply chain opportunities. So a cool technology there, Continuum Ag.
Yeah, second, we're running short on time, Margie. I'm sorry. How do they find that?
Everybody go to agprofessional.com.
Very good. Margie, thank you so much. Sorry about the short time, but we got to jump here.
Thanks,
is Margie Uncle-Camp, the editor of AgPro, giving us all something to research. When we come back, we got Dwayne Faber and Mike North talking dairy on AgriTalk. Check out NCGA's podcast, Wherever John May Roam. In the latest episode, NCGA CEO John Doggett interviews the CEO of Nutrien Ag Solutions, Mike Frank, on the status of farm inputs amid the COVID-19 coronavirus outbreak. Check it out at ncga.com/stay-informed/media/podcast.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success, like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
This just in from the front lines of the fight against tough weeds in soybean fields. Growers have taken the next step with the ultimate secret weapon. Fierce brand herbicides from Valent USA. These pre-emergence herbicides protect soybean fields with multiple effective modes of action, residual control that lasts up to 8 weeks, and fierce resistance management to help you win the battle against resistant weeds and the war. Ask your retailer or visit valent.com/fierce to learn more. Always read and follow label instructions.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready. And health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-626-4910. That's 800-626-4910. 800-626-4910.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
A social distancing tip.
While the CDC urges you to avoid close contact, like hugging or shaking hands, there are other non-physical ways to say hello. Wave, wink, use sign language, salute, smile, give the peace sign, throw up an air high five, do jazz hands. Remember, stay a minimum of 6 feet or 2 arms length away from others and stay home if you can. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards.
It's AgriKitty's favorite song.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, Uncle Man. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip. That's Davis. And we're going to be talking with a lot of farmers today. We've got Dwayne coming up next. We've got Nick and Luke coming up in the second half of the show. And Mike North is going to be joining us here right now. Mike North, Commodity Risk Management Group. How are you, Mike?
I'm doing good. How's Chip?
Doing just dandy. Just fine. Just fine. Standing up to the social distancing and just, you know, taking it as it comes, I guess, here. So, how's things up there your way?
We're running a skeleton crew from the office. A lot of our staff's working from home. We're relying heavily on technology and just taking it day by day, you know?
Yep. Very good. Dwayne Faber out in Washington State joins us, too. Dwayne, thanks for coming back on the show, man. It's good to talk with you again.
You too, Chip. I always enjoy it. Thanks for the invite.
Yep, no worries. Thank you for making the time. How's things out in Washington State, Dwayne? It's one of the spots that's been a real hot spot.
It is. So we had the first confirmed coronavirus case in the U.S. here just about 45 minutes south of me, and we also had the first confirmed death in the United States. And so we were leading the charge on that. We did implement a lot of stay-in-place, shelter-in-place early, and so our curve has somewhat flattened, and so... Yeah, that is probably the good news coming out of it, but it's definitely fearful. I had one employee that was out, and at that time there wasn't sufficient testing, but he was out for 4 or 5 days. And yeah, you envision a world where you don't have employees, and it's a pretty scary proposition. Yeah. So just taking it day by day, one day at a time, and hoping for the best here.
Dwayne, are you doing anything different with your employees right now, trying to give them that social distancing?
Yeah, we are. We sat down with everybody. We talked through it. Although most of them too, they've been seeing it every day on the news, and they're very aware of what needs to be done. We're trying to be extra diligent in washing door handles and places where our employees are touching.
Yeah.
Just doing a good job with that. We're limiting contact with the milk truck drivers. Milk truck drivers are kind of an integral cog in our system there, and so we don't want anything happening to those folks. And then also everybody got a letter saying that they are essential services in case they do get pulled over. And that allayed a lot of fears for a lot of the employees that they'd get in trouble for being out and about, through this time.
Yeah. And that, I keep hearing that those letters and those forms and those notes or whatever they are out there. And I keep looking for official confirmation that something like that is needed, but I think it just gives you the, if they're carrying that letter with them, Dwayne, it just gives them the confidence that they can go ahead and travel out there. Mike, what this dairy market has been through over the last few weeks as we're starting to deal with what is becoming a demand issue because of the social distancing, it's really something to behold what's happening in this dairy market. Break it down for us.
Well, milk is among the most perishable products that we trade on a given day. And when you look at any sort of a ripple in the supply chain or pushback from demand, you have very quickly a market that responds to those type of issues, and you see it in different ways. You see prices go down, and right now we've got class 4 milk down 35%. Now, we've talked about this before. Class 4 is your powder and butter market. Down 35% since the beginning of the year, most of that coming in the last 10 days. Class 3 milk down 25 to 30%, and there again, most of that coming in the last week and a half. Bottom line is you can't store milk like you can corn, soybeans, wheat. And so very quickly, the market has to adjust. And you've watched as cash prices around the country, as traded between co-ops and processors, have dropped even further. We're getting reports of spot milk trading $5, $6, $7 a hundredweight delivered. That's a half or a third of what the current futures market is.
Exactly.
And, those type of prices are disheartening, but that's how quickly milk responds whenever you see things like school shutdowns and, restaurants being closed and all of these things that push back so heavily on the supply chain.
Dwayne, what the milk market is so regionalized. What's your situation up there in the PNW?
Yeah, we're very export dependent. 16% of our product goes overseas, and Dairy Gold, who I ship to, sends a lot of it overseas. 30% of our, the nationwide milk dairy industry goes into the food service, which is essentially shut down for the time being. And so very quickly, you're looking at a huge portion of milk with no place to go. And so for us, we're just storing product. We're turning it into powder and putting it in warehouses just because those overseas buyers aren't there. It's trickling in a little bit, but it's pretty abysmal out there. So,
yeah, 2 years ago, roughly, Mike, we talked about this mountain of milk powder out there that was a weight on the market. But we got over that because of what Dwayne was talking about with the exports and everything. It's sad that we're rebuilding those stocks because of the global fight against the virus.
Right, and you use the right word. It's global. The pushback is not just here in the United States.
Yeah.
We're seeing the same thing in Europe, and in fact, they are going back and kind of reopening those programs again to buy milk powders and put them in storage if need be. The unfortunate part is you have to get the prices down far enough to make that doorway open to allow that product to flow in, and unfortunately, markets are moving in that direction.
Yeah. Dwayne, the safety net provision in the farm bill, the dairy margin coverage, is it sufficient in a situation like this?
So it is. I'm signed up for it. The issue is a lot of people were not signed up for it. I think Marin Bozovich out of Minnesota came out and said it was single digits, the number of producers that signed up for that DMC. The issue for me is it only covers 5 million pounds a year, which is not super significant. And so, you're heading into this year where a lot of people didn't have protection because this was the year they were supposed to rebuild their balance sheets and turn this thing around. And we went from $18 milk now down to $12 and $13 milk. And people did not hedge appropriately. And so that's why this thing is so catastrophic. And to me, it's a blowout event because people have not utilized those programs, DRP or DMC.
Mike, is it going to be that blowout event?
Unfortunately, I agree with Dwayne. And, you know, as we look at it, we are among the largest providers of DRP in the country. And as we look at the total numbers of DRP endorsements in place, it represents only about 25 to 30% of the milk. And so when you pair that with some of the other programs, the participation was not very high. For those that have used it, they'll be fine. Because the coverages that we were picking up through the winter and getting in place for our clients were, you know, really solid.
Yeah.
This move won't hurt them, but most people didn't go there, to Dwayne's point.
Jeepers criminy. I tell you, this is really something. Dwayne, what's the future of your business look like, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, 3 weeks ago, I made a decision to sign up everything for DRP for the next 6 months, and at the time, it was more of a loss mitigation type decision. You know, it's not pretty, but at the same time, it's a floor, and right now, it's looking pretty good. So that combined with DMC, you know, for me personally, we'll weather this, we'll get through this. But we're going to have, it's a bit of a rubber band effect too. I mean, there is going to be a blowout and it's going to pull down low, but at some point this thing's going to rebound. Although it really depends kind of what we put in storage too. I mean, we had the overhang, you know, like Mike was talking about with Europe in 2014, 2015 of just storing powder in warehouses. And it was a wet blanket for 4 or 5 years. And it's possible that we have that again, unless the market responds quickly, and it's possible that we do. You know, this last 5 years of just being below profitability, everybody keeps pumping out milk and hanging on, and this may be the event where we start sending a whole lot of cows to hamburger heaven. So.
Yep, exactly. Dwayne, what you doing to keep those girls busy?
We went and their fair got canceled, so they were really down about that. So I went and got a baby calf, and we parked it in the front yard. And every day they're running around with their baby calf, so that's keeping them busy and keeping them out of mama's hair. So.
I love that. I love that. I love that. Dwayne, take care of yourself out there, my friend. We'll talk with you again soon.
Thanks, guys.
You bet, Mike. Thanks for coming on short notice like you did here. I really appreciate your perspectives here, buddy.
My pleasure. Anytime, right. Chip.
You bet. That's Mike North, Commodity Risk Management Group. We're going to get the Farmer Forum started up next. We got Nick Ehlers and Luke Lauritsen up next on AgriTalk.
When weeds get tough, AmVac answers with the power of Impact brand herbicides, proven to control key grasses and tough, glyphosate-resistant broadleaf weeds. Impact is the standard in corn safety. Impact brand herbicides, tough on weeds, not on corn. Get more information at AmVac.com/impact. AmVac, Impact, and Impact ZR trademarks owned by AmVac Chemical Corporation. All rights reserved. Always read and follow label instructions. Impact Z is a restricted use pesticide.
Protect your investment and experience peace of mind with a PowerGuard Protection Plan from John Deere. Offering similar bumper-to-bumper coverage as your original factory warranty, PowerGuard has plans for both residential and commercial machines, from riding lawn equipment and utility tractors to combines and sprayers. With up to 7 years of total coverage available, PowerGuard extended warranties provide flexible monthly and hourly terms along with no or minimal deductibles. Ask your local John Deere dealer today about PowerGuard Protection Plans.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Joining us now is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Brian, I described the markets as being on the defensive as when the show started. It feels a little bit more than defensive right now with what's happening in the grains. Beans kind of leading the way to the downside, right?
Well, it feels like a bad April Fool's joke is what it feels like.
Yeah.
Just a very rough price performance so far this morning. Beans, double-digit losses, like you said. Wheat isn't far behind, also double-digit losses. And keep in mind, wheat's been the market that's performed the best here because of, you know, global demand picking up a little bit, and then U.S. miller demand as they try to restock bread, pasta, and flour on grocery store shelves. But those markets are being hit extremely hard here this morning. Corn, that's been the one that's been beat up the most. And we got rough ethanol data this morning, as you know, what was expected. But ethanol production is the lowest since mid-September of 2013. Stocks are record high and now 95% of full capacity. Gasoline demand's the lowest in 26 years, so just really rough ethanol data. But yeah, we've seen corn futures move off of their lows a little bit once that data was out. So I think it was somewhat the expectation and just had to get the report out of the way.
All right. Livestock trade is just like almost breathtaking today.
Yeah, limit down in the hogs in all but the extreme part of FERC contracts there. Another one of those price performances. Looks like we're headed toward expanded limits tomorrow in all likelihood here. And then the cattle market's under heavy pressure as well with some of those feeder cattle contracts limit down.
Hey, Beach, if you want a bad April Fool's Day joke, tell those boys of yours that they're going to have to repeat the school year.
Yeah, well, they're going to miss their baseball season. That's the one they're bummed about.
Hey, AgriTalk listeners, this is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio today. That's profarmer.com/radio.
I'm Zach Johnson, a row crop farmer in Minnesota.
And I'm Mitchell Hora, a farmer in Iowa.
Agriculture has to feed a growing population, and many people want us to pull that off without messing up the environment. So how do we do that?
We're trying to figure that out on our podcast, Fieldwork. Check us out on the AgriTalk app and learn more at fieldworktalk.org.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. AgriTalk is brought to you by Precision Planting, provider of practical and effective precision ag technologies to help make farmers smarter every season. Learn more at precisionplanting.com.
All right. Welcome back. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. And welcome back.
The studio audience is very fired up today.
They are really something special today, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Got a good looking group here.
Yes. All right. Hey, today's Farmer Forum is sponsored by America's Conservation Ag Movement. It is a national partnership designed to help all U.S. farmers more rapidly scale the adoption of conservation agriculture and its economic and environmental benefits to farmers and their communities. The foundation partners include Trust in Food, USDA's NRCS, Ducks Unlimited, Syngenta, Valent, Nature Conservancy. It is a very popular effort here at Farm Journal. All right, let's go ahead and get this Farmer Forum started. We've got Nick Ehlers from Iowa. Nick, how you doing, man?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing all right. How's it feel? Everything okay down there? You're another year older since we last spoke.
Yeah. Got my AARP membership done.
Yeah. Good.
Thank you for the recommendation.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Yeah. There are some great benefits there.
Yeah. We're social distancing, I guess, even more than normal. And just out here living the dream watching the markets.
Yep, gotcha. And it's a bad dream today watching the markets. We've got Luke Lauritsen from Nebraska also on the line. Luke, everything okay over there, buddy?
Yeah, we're doing not too bad. Like I said, we wish things were a little greener on the screen today. Luckily, I don't have internet right now on my phone, so I couldn't tell you what they're doing. So there's a bright side to it right now.
Well, we'll whisper about it when we talk about what the markets are doing here, because it's not very... very pretty. Okay, the social distancing. Kids are home from school. You guys have both got school-age kids. The Faber was talking about, he said he went and got a baby calf, put it in the front yard, gave the girls something to play with, keep them out of their mom's hair. How is it changing things, Nick? I mean, what are you doing to keep those kids, you know, from going stir crazy?
Well, my wife's been really good at getting a day planned for them, doing some schoolwork. The schools were just caught off guard about getting stuff out and you know, teaching anything. So she has a day planned for them with different stuff like math and reading and writing and all that. But she's still essential. She can be flexible. She works for her parents' company, but they work on food processing equipment, so they're in demand right now.
Okay.
So she still has to do some stuff. She can be flexible, but yeah, it's interesting right now that, I mean, normally you'd take the kids along and do anything, but you really don't want to drag them around right now and expose people. So interesting times.
No doubt. No doubt. Luke, what are you guys doing?
Well, I guess we're kind of having a little fun with it, but I got a 10-year-old son and a 6-year-old, and 6-year-old's in kindergarten, so we're kind of keeping him on the bookwork yet and stuff. But my 10-year-old, he thinks he's already in fifth grade. He's telling everybody that already. But he said he's already ahead of schedule is what he told me the other day.
Is that right?
We set some time aside. He does have to do some schoolwork, but he's been out with me quite a bit. Like Nick said, we go in anywhere, I make him stay in the car. I mean, you feel like you're leaving your pet in the car, but you can't take him anywhere so they don't get exposed.
Right.
But it's kind of a scary time the last 15 days we've had here with all this going on.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very scary. And, you know, when the whole thing started on Ag Twitter, it felt like there was a bit of, we've been prepped for this forever. Well, in reality, you know, we're not. We're not prepped for it. And it's not that our job puts us in and amongst a bunch of people every day, but there are people that we need. This is a busy time of the year, Nick, when you need to be getting ready for stuff, and it usually means a lot of face-to-face meetings, doesn't it?
Not anymore. Everybody's policy is they're not coming out. You got to call ahead of time to go in anywhere. Got to call ahead of time to get parts. Yeah. So nobody's open.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you finding it difficult to get ready for the season?
Not yet. No.
Okay.
You can still get parts and you can still get what you need. But I think in the heat of the season, if they short their staff, then it might be.
Yep. Okay, Luke, what about you? Any problems or any issues that you've discovered?
I mean, it depends on some store policy. Different. Everybody's got different policy on things. Yesterday, my chainsaw and the aggression of cutting didn't work, so I had to take it to John Deere. And it was just the policy of so many people in the showroom at a time, and if there was that, you had to wait outside. But there is, you know, everybody's got the problem with getting food or, you know, a local bar or tavern. I'm kind of shocked as many people buying to-go meals right now, keeping their local, you know, food industries going. That was kind of the shocker right now. For now, I guess it is.
Yep. Yeah. My wife Sue and I were talking about that last night, and we kind of decided that, you know, we usually cook at home. For us to go out you know, just go out and have a meal is kind of a rare event. But we decided last night that for tonight, we're going to call into the bar in town and get some food to go just to give them some business and let them know that we appreciate what they're doing. So, it's kind of dear. It is definitely weird how we're dealing with things. On the business side of things, guys, I saw the Commodity Credit Corporation interest rates were released either early this morning or yesterday afternoon. Interest rate on commodity loans disbursed in April will be 1.625%, down from 2.5% in March. And I know that this one's really important to you guys, the farm storage facility loans are down to 1.25%, and that is down from 1.375 to 1.625. But 3/4% on some of these storage loans, guys. I mean, Does that make you want to jump out and put some more storage up? Luke.
Bag it, bin it, I guess do whatever you got to do. But I kind of had some – and everybody's got this problem right now. With bases falling out of bed, nobody's moving anything. I mean, whatever right. they got contracted, it's going to get hauled. But there is an option for some cash flow there, obviously. And if that's going to stick around next year, we're probably going to have to go into that for this fall because – let's face it, if ethanol doesn't pick up, and we know the feedlots aren't going to feed all this corn just because they don't have DDGs, it's got to go somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. So are you? Have you been trying to move some corn, Luke, and is the ethanol issues causing you some issues?
Well, I mean, everybody's got the same story there when you look widespread at basis. I mean, we were at 8 over 15 days ago, and now we're 20 under.
Yeah.
But... and it's weird to see bean bases and corn bases within 8 cents of each other. I never thought I'd say that in my life.
Right. Right. Nick, I mean, what about...
it's total different than a year ago.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Nick, what about you? What kind of impacts on the cash market are you seeing in eastern Iowa?
Oh, it's definitely taking its toll on bases. I think farther out from us, there's plants that are slowing down, shutting down. But I'm right in the middle of the old wet mill plants. So they're yeah. still running, but they're going to pull corn from a long ways away now, and that's just going to hurt basis. And
yeah.
Cedar Rapids has pulled back their hours and pulled back.
Well, I hadn't seen that.
Yeah, no, Cedar Rapids has been from 5 to 8 at night for a long, long time, and now they've pulled hours back.
Okay.
So they're, you know, obviously either getting full or slowing down, and we've been keeping grain moving towards the local mill. That's an easier run and sale for us, but yeah. I don't know. I was talking to Calfee, and we're just waiting for our MFP3 to show up.
Well, you know, the MFP3 is one thing. The Small Business Administration loans that are available, I don't know if you're going to be taking advantage of those. Have you looked into them at all, guys? Nick?
Yes, looking at it today, probably fill out some stuff, not just for the farm entity, but other business entities too. So we'll just see what happens.
Yeah, yeah. Pro Farmer talked to the guys at Combest Sell and Associates, and this is a direct quote here. Unlike past loan programs or even current emergency loan programs from the Small Business Administration that exclude farmers and ranchers and agriculture in general, or at least agriculture is told to go to USDA first on this, we are told the new law allows ag to qualify for the loans and loan forgiveness made under the Paycheck Protection Program. When I was talking with Congressman Conaway yesterday, I asked him very specifically what the intent of Congress was in the SBA and the loans, the Paycheck Protection Program, and the eventual forgiveness of those loans, if agriculture was to be included in that or not. And he said very specifically that there are no carve-outs and ag is available, or the program is available to agriculture. So that's some good news. That I think is some good news. Okay, we got a farmer forum going today. We've got Nick Ehlers from Eastern Iowa. We got Luke Lauritsen from Nebraska, and when we come back, you know, I want to find out what these guys are really doing. What's the decision making? What's the decisions that are being made right now for this spring? Got to stay busy in times like this. There's no question about it. We're doing our best. We've got a farmer forum going on AgriTalk.
Hey, Jim, how would you describe our D.C. Signal to Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the D.C. politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the D.C. Signal to Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harith, every Friday on agweb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Editor and AgriTalk Market Analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarmer.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
Planting season is fast approaching. Are you confident your depth is set correctly, or are you assuming your T-handle placement is correct? From seeing thousands of planters across the country, the folks at Precision Planting have found that even when depth setting is the same across the planter, actual planting depth can vary by up to 3/4 of an inch, leading to erratic emergence row by row. A simple block check can be done to avoid this issue. Visit planterexpert.com to find a Precision Planting dealer who can help you get smarter every season and avoid row-to-row variability.
Weeds want to restrict your freedom and crush the spirit of your crops. Never fear. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of superior weed control is here with Liberty Herbicide. Stand proud with greater application flexibility, unmatched convenience, and excellent performance combined with the Liberty Link, Liberty Link GT27, and Enlist trait systems. And it has no known resistance in U.S. row crops. Talk with your BASF rep or authorized retailer about Liberty Herbicide. Always read and follow label directions.
A social distancing tip.
Keeping your distance from others is important in slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are some fun things to do alone. Read a book, take a walk, unpack your suitcase from that trip you took last September, paint a self-portrait, catch up on a TV series, do a puzzle. Remember, we should all stay home to lower the risk for everyone. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Attention oxygen users. Are you on oxygen therapy and still using tanks? Life is hard enough struggling to breathe. Don't waste your breath on dealing with bulky, dangerous tanks.
Call 800-513-4698 now.
And try the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator risk-free for 30 days. Tanks are a hassle. They hamper mobility and are difficult to transport, not to mention risky. The Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator is compact and makes its own oxygen, making your life easier. If you call right now, we'll send you a free information kit that outlines all the benefits. Plus, you can get a 30-day risk-free trial to see for yourself. But don't wait. This exclusive radio offer won't last. Call for your free information kit on the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator. Ditch the hassles of tanks and experience the freedom of living a mobile life again.
Call 800-513-4698. That's 800-513-4698. 800-513-4698.
I'm Andrew McRae, inviting you to join me for Farming the Countryside, a farmer-focused podcast important to agriculture. It's brought to you by Pivot BioProven. Visit pivotbio.com to find a representative near you.
Farmer Farm is sponsored by ACAM, America's Conservation Ag Movement. This year alone, farmers can expect to benefit from conservation ag stories, information, and resources, including nationally published workbooks, and partnership with USDA's NRCS, and the development of peer-to-peer sharing networks and local events in five watersheds across California, Illinois, Indiana, Maryland, and Nebraska. Let's get back to the Farmer Forum. We've got Luke Lauriston.
Hey, Chip.
Yes.
Is it
Davis.
Too late to say, Freebird?
Freebird, yeah.
Just saying.
It's not. And I'm glad you did. I'm glad you did, and I'm glad that you got the guys chuckling, because I'm afraid. I'm about to break their hearts a little bit.
Oh, don't kill them now.
We're doing so good.
Yeah. Justin Bieber has postponed his summer tour due to the coronavirus pandemic.
I thought
the studio audience doesn't care for that.
After the crop tour?
Yeah, well, I thought you were going to say crop tour's canceled already.
No.
I thought we were going to that after crop tour.
Yeah, well, you know, that was part of the plan. That was part of the plan. And John Harith has just informed me that the Cubs-Cardinals game in London has been canceled. We're going to have to make that up in Wrigley Field, it sounds like, at some point, if we even get a season going. I've been watching the 2016 postseason all week and watched the Game 7 again last night. So
they still win, don't they?
They do. You know, I'm on the edge every time, though, Luke.
They give us Husker fans a hard time about living in the past, and the Cubs guys got a really just that one win.
Luke's watching Nebraska football from 1990.
Hey, 94, 95, 97, Iowa can't say that. Just remember.
Yeah, you know, you ought to watch that Iowa State game from 91 or 92. Remember that one there in Lincoln? Huh?
Yeah, that was. We had more turnovers and touchdowns, or points that game, I think. I was there. That's how bad it was. I was there.
Roids and cocaine will get you a hell of a team.
Yeah. Oh, here we go.
Love it. So did you guys steal everybody's survey and fill it out for them? Is that how we ended up with 97 million acres, Nick?
I don't know. Are we really going there now?
Yeah.
Are we?
Yeah.
I think
we going to get there?
I think 97 is a little stout. I think it's a little stout, but yeah. I think the acres come from non-I states. So Mega Dakota and Kansas.
Yeah, Luke, what'd you say?
We were wondering if the 97 million, is that crop still in field in North Dakota from this year count? Does that count towards the 97 million?
Well, I think it counts as the intentions to plant corn.
Have they harvested yet?
Yeah, I really do. I think it does count as intentions to plant back to corn. Because I think that's what makes most economic sense for a lot of the guys up there right now is you plan on planting corn on that field that is still unharvested, and hey, if it's the end of March or the end of May before you finally get to it, you can claim prevent plant on it, even with last year's crops still standing out there in the field. So I think that's where some of the intentions are coming from.
Yeah, I agree there. I mean, there obviously, if you put a pen to paper this year, corn was a better deal. APHs, everything else lines up for corn. In our seed dealership, we're seeing that a lot. Not a big swing, but enough. But now with the price drop and everything else, who knows? There is some gas going on now, but not much ground getting worked. So it's a little too wet for that.
Right. Right. Nick, are you?
That's a big number.
Nick, you got any acres in play yet, or have you made up your mind on stuff?
We've pretty well made up our mind. I really hate making a last minute decision. I mean, bean price isn't really enough to make you want to swing acres, but you know, maybe it comes down to a banking decision. I don't know.
Right.
But
you know, and cheap. The PLC program, I mean, we really didn't expect to see the price loss coverage program come into play in a big way this year, but it looks like it might. Now, you take some of that and combine it with what you can get in the cash and maybe some of the revenue protection. I don't know. Maybe corn does work, Luke.
I mean, I will say, like you said before, if prevent plant comes in play, the guys aren't going to hesitate, and they're going to take it because they got a good guarantee.
You know, it's different than a year ago where cash corn was way better than the guarantee on Prevent Plant.
Right. Right.
So
don't forget the MFP.
Well,
yeah, 1.0.
It's election year.
That, yeah, I asked Conaway about that too, and asked if it would be if the CARE Act, the coronavirus rescue plan from Congress, if that was going to replace the potential for an MFP 3.0, and he didn't rule it out. He didn't rule out a 3.0, and he's been a big proponent of it all along. So I think we just need to let the dust settle a little bit on this, and it can't be rolled out at this point yet. I think they left some powder dry on the funding for the CCC so that if they have to, they can come back and pump it up to the $50 billion that it was going to be before Pelosi got a hold of it. So there's still the potential for that to happen.
So, yeah, true.
Yep. Hey, real quick, Luke, you said it's a little wet out there. What are the field conditions?
Oh, I would say, I mean, we got customers putting on hydrants. It's obviously way better than it was a year ago at this time because we had the cyclone, you know, the cyclone boom. But it's better. I mean, like I said, the corn stalks, we can't get on them yet and work them. They're a little wet, but there is a lot of gas going on in the hydrants and dry fertilizer yet. And obviously cutting trees. Everybody's got these kids at home. We got to have something for them to do.
That's right. That's right. What's the PE class for today there, Nick?
I'm not teaching today. I'm doing paperwork and other stuff, and the wife's in charge today.
Gotcha. So. Gotcha. All right, you guys, take care of yourselves. Take care of those families, and we'll talk with you again real soon.
All right. Thank you.
You bet. That's Nick Ehlers from Iowa, Luke Lauritsen from Nebraska. All right. Thanks to those guys. Thanks to Dwayne and to Mike for being on the show today as well. Come back this afternoon. We got Matt Bennett from agmarket.net on AgriTalk.
This just in from the front lines of the fight against tough weeds in soybean fields. Growers have taken the next step with the ultimate secret weapon. Fierce brand herbicides from Valent USA. These pre-emergence herbicides protect soybean fields with multiple effective modes of action, residual control that lasts up to 8 weeks, and fierce resistance management to help you win the battle against resistant weeds and the war. Ask your retailer or visit Valent.com/fierce to learn more. Always read and follow label instructions.
I'm Andrew McRae, your host for Farming the Countryside. We're talking about issues, tips, and trends affecting rural and agricultural America.
Then it was a burden on the local office. Essentially, you just have Arc County right now, or PLC.
On each show, I talk with guests who provide the latest info on important topics and the challenges and successes on their own operations.
We had an open house and invited the entire community. It was a huge event. We had about 750 people show up.
The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.